to examine what you're doing. I'm just giving even just like pedagogical stuff, like, mm-hmm. I should be repeating that more. Like, you yeah. see it in somebody else.
Yeah, all of a sudden you have to raise your game.
Right. Yeah. And then, just empathy, just a lot of empathy.
You gave her all the humbleness too. Pretty cool. Humbleness and humility. Excellent. All right, we got about a minute left. So where do we go from here? What do you guys plan for?
For Teach to Matter?
Yeah.
So next Tuesday are our presentations. And, we'll have our RVCC friends there from the foundation, from service learning, from student life. Mm-hmm. Hopefully folks from the administration coming in to actually see that the time and the energy and the recognition that Teach to Matter has earned is well deserved. Mm-hmm. And we'll also have, of course, the community partners there. And, next semester, and I'm so grateful. I was hoping Lauren would say she was going to do this.
I got it recorded, Lauren. You're done now.
I can hold her ransom now. So I'm hoping next semester
that a ringtone.
I'm hoping next semester that those students that were with their cooperating teachers this semester will enroll in field experience for the spring and then turnkey it with the students, because that's where the power really, really lies. And it just it gives them the courage to say, you know what, I actually can do this. And then they graduate and they transfer.
And I've been promised a beautiful PowerPoint from Juliana. So I look forward to seeing it.
And now you're probably already baking somewhere the next social cause that you're going to guide. And what are you thinking of?
Oh, where will we be? So we'll be in Dickens. We'll be doing Great Expectations. So there's a whole smorgasbord there. Awesome. Maybe a Marxist.
Wow. Last question, Kathy. How does Choose to Matter? What's their take on the whole thing now that you've done this for 2 years?
So that's a great question,
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
My opponent has the most open borders policy of anyone ever to seek the office of presidency. It's not even close.
Donald Trump back on the campaign trail, attacking Hillary Clinton for her wide-open immigration policies. Trump says if we allow Clinton's policies to take effect, we will have more terrorists entering the country, like the New York bombing Islamic terrorist. President Obama called the police officers who were wounded in the apprehension of the Islamic terrorists from New York. He said that the officers are in good spirits and condition.
They are going to be fine. They've sustained some modest injuries, but ones that they'll rapidly recover from. They were in good spirits.
FBI releasing today that a note was found on one of the unexploded bombs. It referenced Fort Hood and the Boston Marathon bombing. USA Radio News.
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Make and receive business calls using our iPhone and Android apps. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Forward your calls to any phone and even get your voicemails transcribed. Join over 250,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Welcome to Staples.
Oh, Staples guy, help. I need a presentation printed fast.
Well, have no fear. Staples is here. We can print same or next day.
Wow. Oh, but my budget has me handcuffed.
Well, right now, get 20% back in rewards on all color printing. Brochures, flyers, even signs.
Staples guy, you're my hero.
I prefer Prince Charming. You know, Prince, because of our color printing.
Yep, I got it.
Get 20% back in rewards on all color printing. Staples. Make more happen.
Ends 10/29/16. Exclusions apply. For full details, visit staples.com/rewards.
The gasoline is going to start flowing again in a major pipeline to the East Coast. Here's the story.
Engineers at Colonial Pipeline have been working on a bypass for the leaking area since last week. The 500-foot-long section has now been completed, and they say next they'll pressure test it and install it. If all goes well, they hope to have gasoline flowing back through the line sometime tomorrow. Company officials say it will still take several days after that to get supplies back up to normal, and they expect that supply disruptions will continue on occasion until then, but there does appear to be light at the end of the tunnel. Matt Cook, Atlanta.
Kellogg's has announced a recall of Eggo Nutri-Grain whole wheat waffles because they may be contaminated with the bacteria Listeria. The company announced on its website recalls taking place in 25 states. Listeria can cause infections in children, the elderly, and those with weak immune systems. Kellogg's is asking people to throw away affected products, and they're offering refunds. USA Radio News.
Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in store or online at RiteAid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
Angry vegans are attacking a famous West Coast burger franchise because they haven't bowed to their will. Here's more on the story.
The Good Food Institute has started an online petition through Change.org demanding that the Orange County-based burger chain offer meatless meals like a veggie burger. The group says the burger joint has been letting people down by not serving something that would satisfy a burger-loving customer who wants to eat healthy. So far, 17,000 people have signed the petition, and the group says if they hit their target of 25,000 signatures, they'll take the petition to the company's headquarters in Irvine. In-N-Out officials have yet to respond. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
Finally, one southern state is taking steps to fight its problem with human trafficking.
There's been a lot of talk about fighting human trafficking in Mississippi, but there hasn't been an organized effort to get the job done. That could change starting next week. Some Justice Department representatives are coming to Jackson to help law enforcement and prosecutors set up an operational task force. Its job would be to rescue the victims of human trafficking and to make sure the traffickers get what's coming to them.
You have to commit law enforcement, and you have to make a plan for the victims. And we, unfortunately, have not done that yet.
Sandy Middleton with the Center for Violence Prevention, which is sponsoring the training session. She says even with a task force in place, nothing much is going to change unless the state agrees to pump the necessary money into the human trafficking fight. Randy Bell in Jackson.
USA Radio News.
Hey, this is Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters, and we're going to kick the show off here in a few minutes. But first, we're going to go to a few of our paid commercials, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes to talk about first-time buyers and all the things that are affecting that market. The whole show today is going to be dedicated to the first-time buyer market. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, if that last commercial sounded a little like me, there's really good reason. It was yours truly. And I just play that before I get started so you know who I am, a little about my background. And once again, today we're going to talk about first-time buyers. First, I wanted to give you the weather. That's part of our format. And the weather is right now, we're looking at currently temperatures of 84 degrees. It's going to be 62 overnight. Tomorrow's going to be sort of a repeat, partly sunny, partly cloudy. Thursday, going to go up to 86. And then beyond that, we're looking at a cooling off trend. Friday, it's going to be 86 again. I think I said that already. Then 76 on Saturday and only 69 on Sunday and 69 on Monday. So we're out of it, guys. We're headed towards early fall. And early fall is sort of a neat time because you can sleep with the window open. You can shut off the air conditioning. You don't have to turn the heat on yet. It's a win-win-win and just sort of a feel-good time. I mean, you can't hang on to summer. I remember in my younger years, I used to love to get some tanning time in, and once you went past September 1st, you could try like you wanted to, but it just wasn't working anymore. It's fall, early fall. So welcome to Real Estate Matters. What I try to do is one week I have a Real Estate Matters show, and then the next week I have a 55-plus show. This happens to be the Real Estate Matters show, and we're going to talk about first-time buyers. First-time buyers are very, very important to our economy, and we're taking a look. You say, why are they important? When a first-time buyer goes out and buys a house, they typically buy something in a 150 to 300 category. That's about where I see them higher. I see them a lot higher at times, but I would say 95% are shooting at that target. It may be a small condo, a townhouse, or a single family. And then why it's important to the economy, because it makes about three or four other sales happen. The second-time buyer who sells them the house goes out and buys something in a three to five. And then the person that sells the second-time buyer that house moves up into the fives or sixes. And then eventually, in the life cycle of buying and selling houses, people right-size. It's either because the kids have gone to college or maybe there's a divorce, I hate to say it, but it happens, or an illness, and they need a different kind of, and they downsize, and they a lot of times stay right in the same area, but just need different living facilities, and other times they sell and leave the area. So today we're going to talk about the first-time buyers, and the reason that first-time buyers are so important is that about 50% of our market right now is just that, first-time buyers, people finally getting out of mom and dad's house where they've been for the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. The recession went from 05 to roughly 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that time frame. And a lot of people lost their jobs, came back to live with mom and dad, or came out of school and couldn't find a job, came back to live with mom and dad. And now it's time to get out on their own. The economy's doing a little bit better. The confidence in the economy is doing really, really better. I'm not sure that confidence is based on sheer logic, but you know what? It's selling a lot of houses. So we've got a feeling of confidence amongst us, and with that feeling of confidence amongst us, a lot of people are buying their first house. And one of the reasons first-time buyers are buying versus renting is we don't have a heck of a lot of rentals for them, especially in the lower-priced areas. The rental market is sitting at around 2% vacancy, and that's the lowest it's been since anybody can remember. And the reason for it is just that. There's a lot of first-time out of the mom and dad's house opportunities, and are looking at 1- and 2-bedroom units. And the 1- and 2-bedroom units are not inexpensive. To go out and find a 1-bedroom unit in Hunterdon County, you're probably going to spend between $1,200 and $1,400. That's for a condo or maybe a really small townhouse. We don't have a lot of 1-bedroom townhouses. But if you get into the 2-bedroom models, the rentals are going to run you $1,600, $1,800, depending how big the unit is. And a lot of times, the 2-bedroom is a lot easier to rent than the 1-bedroom because two people can share it. And then they write the lease between them. They're both responsible for it, and they're both paying $800 or $900, where the 1-bedroom model, if you do it by yourself rental-wise, is more like $1,200, $1,300, $1,400, depending on where you're at. So one of the things I try to work with the first-time buyer prospects is who are looking for rentals is that, you know what, a lot of times you can own this place for roughly the same price that you can buy it for. And I'm going to walk you through the reasons that people move in that direction today. By the way, my name once again is Joe Peters. I'm with Weichert and Clinton. And most of this information is on my site, jpeters.com. And if you go to jpeters.com, under buyers, there's a whole area that, in effect, is dedicated to first-time buyers. And the first thing that happens when you go out and buy versus rent is you're making a tremendous step forward on a financial investment. You're doing the American dream. You're putting maybe as low as 3% down. In some instances, we can get people in with zero down. But let's say 3% is the average, and it costs about another 3% to close. So if you're going to buy a $200,000 place, you need about 6%. 6% is about $12,000. And you probably are going to pay less money per month than you are going to do if you rent. And the reason for that is there's so few rentals. Rentals have gone up. They've gone up 10 or 12% in the last year alone. And the ones that are still available are pretty picked over. So there's not a lot to choose from. So our first-time renters are, in a lot of instances, especially if they meet me, considering the first-time buyers. And now you put that 6% up front, 3% to close, 3% down payment. You get an FHA mortgage. FHA mortgages are probably going to run at about $5 a thousand. So if you bought a $100,000 place and financed $100,000 of it, let's say you bought $105,000 and financed $100,000, and we don't have a lot that low, but I'm just using the round numbers, you're going to spend about $500 a month. So if you bought a $200,000 place, and that's probably more like it, and you financed, let's say you financed $190,000 of it, you then, in effect, would be financing roughly $1,000 a month. You got to add in the homeowners association. That's probably $250,000. and you got to add in the insurance, you got to add the taxes in, and that's probably another $400. So you could own a place probably in a $1,500, $1,600 ballpark versus renting it for $1,200 to $1,300. So I say it's cheaper. Why? Well, a lot of things happen when you own. One is you're building equity. You're putting 3% down on a $200,000 purchase, but the whole $200,000 is growing. And so far this year, we're saying that we've grown about 2% in New Jersey, and we're growing more at the lower end than the higher end. And as a result of that, just your growth, if we double that number by the end of the year and make it 4% on a $200,000, that's $8,000 in equity. So you've put down $6,000. You got into the place, you bought it, you made your payments, and at the end of the year, it's worth $208,000 instead of $200,000. Yay! So that is the American dream. Now, still, it costs you more than it did to buy it. But I'm not allowed to give us an agent tax advice, but I can share my understanding and send you to a tax advisor. And what I tell people is what you really want to do is you want to go take a look at just what you're doing, because all of the interest that you're going to pay, which is probably 3/4 of your payment, and all of the taxes you're going to pay become a tax deduction. So let's say your interest, if you're paying 3/4 of $1,000 is $750 and your taxes are another $400, $1,150, $1,200 round numbers is a tax deduction. You're probably paying about 30% tax on your top dollars. So 30% of $1,200 is $300 a month. Round numbers once again. $360, I guess, is the actual number. $360 times 10 would be $3,600. So you roughly got about a $4,000 a year tax deduction. And that's good news, because that means you're taking, if you wait to the end of the year, and getting better than the difference between the $1,200, $1,300, and $1,500 you'd cost to buy a place back as a tax refund. But guess what you can do? You don't have to wait to the end of the year. You can go down the hall to the payroll department and you can say to the payroll department, I now own a house and I'm going to, rather than get a massive tax deduction at the end of the year, I'd like to take out $300 less per month of my paycheck, and they'll show you how to do that. And now you're paying the same thing as if you rented it. So you're not paying somebody else's mortgage off, you're paying your own. You're not helping somebody else build equity, you're building your own. And you're not spending any more money. That's the magic of buying versus renting. So it depends on a lot of things. We say the real estate industry is like old people. It depends. In effect, it depends on at least 3 factors. You've got to have a job, and it's got to be a job that pays a fair salary so that you can afford this. And you've got to have that job for a period of time, let's say at least a year or two. So that's number one. You've got to have a job. The job's got to pay money. And in effect, you've got to have it for a while. You can't be in it 2 weeks and go get a mortgage. It just doesn't work that way. So what they'll do is, if you've got the job, is they'll give you a proportion of your gross income, as this is how much you can finance on a mortgage. And it's usually about 30%. So let's say you make $2,000 a month. And of your $2,000 a month, that would be roughly $24,000 a year. It's probably not enough to consider buying a house. But if you made $3,000 a month, $36,000 a year, which is probably roughly, we say a 2-year college student in Hunterdon County can easily earn twice minimum wage. Minimum wage is 10, so that'd be 20 round numbers. 20 times 40 a week is roughly 40 hours a week. 800 times 50 weeks, that's $40,000. So if you had $40,000 and you took 30% of it, you could buy a $1,200 condo. That includes not only the mortgage interest and principal, the homeowners association, the taxes, and any insurance you might need. So it's very doable. The numbers are about the same. We do it every day of the week. We're able to help people take a look at buying versus renting. Now, what if you wanted to go 35% and say, I'll stretch it and I'm going to the movies, whatever. Banks have rules. They call it an upfront percentage. It's somewhere between 30, at the very best, 33% upfront. And that's of your gross income. And then on the back end, they're going to hold you at about 43, 44%. So that means add in your car payment, add in anything else you own money on, and it can't be more than 44% of your gross income. So it's pretty easy to get into a $200,000 investment if you earn $40,000 a year and you have a job. But as remember, I said there's a couple of things you've got to do. You've got to have a job. The job has to be for a length of time and earn a certain amount of money. But secondly, you've got to have decent credit. Now, we judge credit by your FICO score. And your FICO score typically has to be, in order to get a mortgage as a first-time buyer, at least 675. You could even get down as low as 650, but you're going to pay a little more interest. The higher the risk, the more the interest. If you're over 700, you're in really good shape. If you're over 720, 740, you're in great shape. So if you really have paid your bills on time, you're not out of proportion, like, you know, you've got a credit line of on three different charge accounts, you've got $20,000 and you only owe two or three, well, then your payments aren't a lot and you've got a very low proportion of how much credit has been used to how much credit you have. If you have a $20,000 credit line across three cards and you owe 18, well, then your credit, your FICO score is going to be a lot lower. So what did I say we needed? We needed a job. We needed a decent FICO score. And then the third thing is we need a little bit of assets. You can't do it for free. There are some programs under USDA where you can go in with zero down, but there's still some closing costs. And we say closing costs are typically 3% of the cost of the purchase of a home. So it would be $6,000 on a $200,000. And if you put $3,000 down, it would be $12,000. So, and a lot of times you can either finance that if your credit's good enough. Of course, you're paying it off over time. Or maybe borrow it from the parents or your uncle, relative. That has to be documented, but you can do it. And get started. Now, the higher you put down a deposit, the better the interest rate you're going to get, and the less the missing. It's called PMI. It's private mortgage insurance. The lower the PMI is going to be. If you have a very minimum, highly leveraged loan, like you're only putting 3% down, you're probably going to pay 1.25%, 1.5%, depending on your credit PMI. So that'll be in addition to your interest rate, and you'll have to figure that into the loan because that's considered interest that you're paying back. So once again, what did I say? Three things: got to have a job, you got to have some credit, and you got to have a little bit of assets, and we can get you into a home in less money per month, if you consider the tax deductions, than you would be spending if you rented the very same place. So why not own it? We get a lot of arguments, well, I'm a millennial, I'm going to have 10 jobs in my lifetime. You know what? 10 jobs in a lifetime, you're probably going to work 50 years. That means you're going to have an average of 5 years. In 5 years at 4%, you'd gain a 20%, compounded more like 25% increase in equity. Why not own a house and get that equity out of it? There's no argument for not owning. And when it's time to move on, you can rent it out as a use it as an income property, or you can liquidate it and sell it and just buy wherever you're going to move to. So what about the payments? It depends on your rent, of course, but if you can afford a 5% down monthly payment, I've been saying free, it's probably going to be actually less than your rent. And when the house is yours, you can do things with it. How many times have you been in a rental where the landlord says you can't put up any more pictures, you can't repaint the place, you can't update the place, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the next thing? I've been a landlord. I know we want to protect our investment because I own the $200,000 investment, not you. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of rules, like you can't burn candles because then we get carbon in the corners from the candles. You can't have live Christmas trees because it's a high insurance thing. You can't use the fireplace with wood. I've got a whole bunch of rules as a landlord where if you own the place, you're going to take care of it. It's yours. It's your investment. And you don't want that investment to go kaploosh down the whatever. You want that investment to grow, and you want to get that 4% or whatever the average annual rate is coming back out of it. So you're in control. And instead of being another issue that you've got to look at as a renter is no matter what you rent at the end of your lease, the landlord doesn't have to rent it to you again. So let's say you find a place, you're in there, you had a two-year lease, you love it, I'm gonna stay here for a couple of more years, it's just right for me. But the landlord's daughter just graduated college and she needs a place to stay. Well, you lose. That landlord is going to say, I'm not going to renew the lease. He's got to give you a little bit of notice to do it, but the lease is coterminous on both sides. It ends the date you say it ends, and neither side really has to do anything other than be polite to the other and say, I'm not going to renew. If you go past the end of the lease, it could be on a month-to-month basis, then he's got to give you a month or two's notice. But you're in control, and that's an important thing. You can do things with the place. You can gain the momentum of it growing, and that's what we call appreciation. You can get the tax incentive, so it's actually cheaper than renting the same place. And then you're not going to get tossed out at the end of your lease. Now, once again, on tax deductions, I can't give you tax advice, but I will tell you, I've been doing it. Everybody else who owns a home that can do it, a home is a tax shelter. You're borrowing 3% in the example I gave, but you're getting 100% of it as a tax deduction. And as a result, you're not getting a tax deduction just on the 3% you own. You're not getting appreciation on the 3% you own. You're getting a tax deduction and appreciation on the 100% of the value. And that tax deduction, which is the interest and the amount of taxes that you're paying on the place, the actual part that you pay towards the principal is not tax deductible. Your homeowner's isn't tax deductible, and your insurance is not tax deductible. But all of the interest and all of the money you're paying towards principal is a tax deduction. And at the end of the year, you get to take that as a tax deduction. Then let's talk about stability a little bit. Well, most landlords rents every year. And last year, as I said, we went up 10 to 12%. You've got a fixed rate loan for 30 years, depending on how you've done your mortgage. And the payments stay the same. The only thing that could go up is maybe your homeowners goes up a little bit, maybe your taxes go up a little bit. And taxes tend to go up a little bit. In effect, you're in control. You've got a stability factor. You don't have to get out till you're ready to get out. And you're gaining a nice financial advantage by owning it. And the money that you put down into a mortgage to build equity can be made available to you in the form of a loan or a line of credit. So let's say the place goes up over 5 years to $200,000 to $200,000, $250,000. You can go back and borrow most of that as a second mortgage, or you could refinance it. The nicety is if you leave it alone and eventually you're ready for a bigger place, then you got a nice down payment into your second place. You're not talking about 3% anymore. You're talking about 20%. Another thing is you can choose the community. You want your children and your wife or husband, loved one, whatever the situation may be, to feel comfortable where you're living. And you want them to be feeling good about themselves. If you buy a place, you get to choose where you buy it. If you rent a place, you're probably going to pick what's available, which isn't a hell of a lot. And in effect, it's a tremendous psychological advantage. And when the term of your mortgage ends, you'll own a home outright. So if you keep it, let's say take a 30-year mortgage and you're 25, and at 55 you own the house outright if you did nothing else. Well, then you own it. There's no more payments. Still got to pay taxes, still got to pay insurance, maybe homeowner's insurance or fees, but you own the house outright. And I got to tell you, that sounds like the American dream. Most people will turn that house over every 7 years on the average. In the last 10 years, it's gone up from there because there are a lot of people in financial straits. But in effect, you have the right to sell a house when you want it or keep it to the end of the term. And there's some personal reasons in owning a home. You're going to have more privacy, very likely more living area, although in my example I use the same place. And there's also something very satisfying in the psychology of owning your own home. So that's what the American dream is all about on first-time buyers. What I want to do is I want to talk about some of the things that people do wrong when they buy a house. But before I do it, I'm going to get in and play two more commercials, and I'll be right back.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
So before I get into, once again, this is Joe Peters. I'm with Weikert. My phone number is 908-238-0118, and my website is J-P-E-T-E-R-S, jpeters.com. All of this information is out there. So let's talk about what home buying mistakes are typically made when you go out to buy a house. But before I talk about that, let me talk a little about what you can do to avoid making these mistakes. And the answer to that is very simple. You need a real estate agent. It's not because I'm one. I have enough business that I don't really need to go out and beg for more business or convince you that you should be using me. What I try to do is make sure that people understand a real estate agent doesn't cost you any money. When a house sells, the seller pays the real estate fee, not the agent. The agent works for you. Their advocacy is to you. Their financial responsibility is to you and your plans. And they can help you not make all of these mistakes. Now, if you'd like to work with me, I'd love to work with you. I really enjoy working with first-time buyers because I've done it with my children. And I really enjoy helping people get into that first house and get their life started. And there's nothing more rewarding than come back 5 years later when people are ready to make the second purchase, want to sell the first house, and I see that there's now two children that weren't there when we bought the first house. It's sort of my way of getting back, and I got to tell you, there's nothing more rewarding than seeing families grow out of houses that I've sold. So, Joe Peters-Weichert, 908-238-0118. First home buying mistake is failing to have a plan. You need to sit down with a financial advisor and understand, based on your earnings, based on your credit, and based on your assets, what you can afford to buy. In most cases, what you can afford to buy is much more than you think you can afford to buy. So the good news is it's not scary. The good news is it's a lot easier to face the situation with the facts than without understanding this. So having a plan by talking to a financial advisor, and I can introduce you to a few, and he'll help you evaluate your current situation. If you own a home today, you're probably not a first-time buyer by definition. He'll go through that with you, but he'll also help you understand what your options are and how much it is you can afford. Then you need a clear plan when deciding a house to see what are the important things to you. What I like to have people make is a plan of what do I have to have and what would I like to have. Because the like to haves are emotional. Like a lot of people would love to have a finished basement, but they have to have two bedrooms. So a like to have and a have to have are two different things. So we make a like to have, and in a lot of instances, the like to haves are found with the things that you really have to have, like two bedrooms, two bathrooms, and a finished basement. That makes the difference between two bedrooms, two bathrooms, or a bath and a half, and no finished basement. You look at the two, they're roughly the same. You take the one with the thing you'd like to have. So as a realtor, I help you, after you've made your financial assessment of your situation, understand what it is you need to have in a house, what it is you'd like to have in a house, the price point, and the general areas. And a lot of times that base is based on school systems. And I set up a computerized search. And then once a day, the very first day, you get everything that's on the market that matches your criteria. And in effect, maybe 50, 60 houses. It's sort of overwhelming. But then the second day, you'll get one or maybe none. And then the third day, you might get one or two more. And that's the way you keep abreast of the market so that you can understand what's coming on the market and call me and say, Joe, I want to get out and look at this house, especially in a market which doesn't have enough inventory right now. We're out nightly almost with some customers till we find them the house that they're looking for. So you need to provide your realtor with a list of features that you need, and then your realtor has to really get in and look at some houses with you and get inside your head. I can't tell you how many customers have said after working with me, when we walked into the right house, both Joe and I knew it immediately because we're thinking alike. And I'm looking for that house subliminally when I'm not with that customer. When I see something, I'll say, hey, I saw something today that we haven't looked at. I did it just a year ago on the 600. This guy's a second-time buyer, and he wasn't considering a certain area, and I saw a house over there, and long story short, he's been in there 2 years. I just sent him a happy anniversary card. Then another mistake people make is you think you can't afford it, and that's the reason you need to sit with a financial advisor. He can sit and do what is called an analysis of what it's going to cost you not only to pay on a monthly basis, but what it's going to cost you to get into that house. How many points are you going to have to pay? How much deposit are you going to have to make? And it's an analysis of your financial situation based on the house that you've chosen, or a typical house that you could choose from. And then thirdly, you need to be a little fussy with your realtor. I mean, there's a lot of good realtors. I'm just one of them. But I got to tell you, I think I'm a little better than most, because I'm not a realtor who's trying to sell a house to you. I'm a realtor that's trying to help you find the house that you want. There's a big difference. So you need to screen, and you probably want to talk to two or three. And just because your sister's cousin sells real estate, she may not necessarily be the best real estate agent. You want to make sure the agent knows the area, that the agent understands your priorities, that the agent wants to work at the pace you want to work with. And one of the things that happens with some of the customers I meet is they may be 6 to 12 months away from buying something. That's not a problem. They're the best customers to work with because we ramp it up, we get it done in their time frame, and in effect, the realtor's always out there looking for the customer so that when the right house comes along, then they're ready. And sometimes they go quicker than they think, but in most cases, they go on their own time frame. You want to look at your financial obligations with the mortgage person that you're going to deal with. And you probably want to talk to two or three people here as well. There's different mortgage options. There's different mortgage lenders. And you want to choose a lender based on your comfort factor there and maybe the realtor's comfort factor with them. I use a couple of people that I've used a lot. And then every once in a while, somebody will get that, oh, I'm going to save an eighth of a point if I use this mortgage company. And then the closing's a disappointment because it's delayed 3 weeks. We have no traction with that mortgage person, and there's a lot of disappointment at the end. So one of the things that when I recommend somebody, I know they can provide what it is we're looking for on a timely basis. And then you need to choose a loan based you don't want to choose a loan just based on the interest rate. There's a lot of factors that go into a loan. Some of it is how much money you've got to put down. Some of it is how much your credit score is. And there's a lot of things that go into it, but a qualified mortgage professional will sit with you and take the time for you to understand what your options are and then lay out what he or she thinks is best for you. So let's say we get the mortgage pre-approved, we make up the list, we go out and we find a house, and what happens next? Well, we make an offer. We write up an offer saying, I will buy your house for this price on this date, and here's what I want included. And a lot of times that's dictated to you. That's what they tell you on the MLS listing, multiple listing system listing, that the washer dryer are not included, but the refrigerator is. You can always negotiate that a little, but you and a buyer go back and forth, and you get the inclusions and the price and the dates down, and then you go and do what's called attorney review. You hire an attorney as a buyer. It's probably about $1,200 to $1,400, depending on what it is you want to do, and the seller hires an attorney, and by owning the house, they probably have an attorney that they've used in the past that they want to use again. I usually find that the sellers know exactly who they want to use, but the buyers need to find an attorney. And the two attorneys go through what's called attorney review. It's sort of a tennis match of getting all the T's crossed and the I's dotted so both sides are protected. And once attorney review is complete, well, then you are committed to buy that house from that seller under the terms that you agreed, and the seller is committed to sell it to you. If somebody else comes along after you complete attorney review and offers the seller another $1,000 for the house, he can't sell it to him because he has a contract with you. He's made up his mind and he has to commit to that contract. So you're committed to buy it, the seller's committed to sell it, and the next thing you do after attorney review is an inspection. And you need to find a qualified inspector. This is a big investment to you. Whether you're buying a $200,000 house or a $500,000 house, it's in proportion to both your ability to buy and your assets. And in effect, it's probably the biggest investment you're ever going to make. So sometimes I get people shopping around and saying, oh, you gave me an investor and an inspector, and I found another one that's $100 cheaper. And a house inspection, depends what, if you got a septic, it's probably $1,200. If you don't have a septic, it's probably $600. They'll come up with one that's $475, and I don't know who the guy is. Now, why would you take a risk on somebody we don't know? This is an important person to you. He should walk you through, and there's a lot of hers too. He or she should walk you through, train you on what to be considered on the house, what's right, what's wrong, what's near end of life, what's in good shape, what you need to do on a maintenance factor. And you make up a list back to the seller and saying, Mr. Seller, I want these things repaired before I'm going to finish the attorney. The attorney view is to complete before I finish the inspection cycle. So there's some things that got to be fixed. If there's termite or if there's structure or if there is radon, they got to be fixed. If there's water issues, if there's furnace, HVAC, if there's anything that's structural or contamination-wise, it's got to be fixed. There's other things that are negotiable. Let's say there's a double-pane window and a seal is broke. One out of 50 has a broken seal. You can say to the buyer, I want that fixed. And the buyer can say, I'm not going to fix it. You're buying a 20-year-old house. It's got a broken seal. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. That's a negotiable item. But the other items that you have to fix, the things that are, in effect, environmental or structural, or they have to let you out of the contract. And then one of the things that you also have to do is understand your obligations. Because if, in effect, a real estate agent is going to guide you through this, and once I turn it over to the attorney sort of takes the reins and takes it right through closing, but I'm still there to advise you. We want to advise you what your options are all along the way. A good example here might be, let's go back to the double pane window. We're talking about a $200 item. Everything else is in place, but he's not going to fix a $200 item. Maybe it ain't worth arguing about. You know, you might think it's a $1,000 item. It's only $200. Or maybe we can say, okay, I would be willing to forgive the $200 item if you leave the swing set in the backyard. So there's a lot of trade-offs, too. But as a first-time buyer, you need that level of experience as you go through the inspection and through the actual buying process, including attorney review and including the inspection process. So then if we take a look at, and I'm just trying to get back to someplace on my presentation here, if you give me a second, what other considerations are on first-time buyers, and there's a few. And a lot of people think, well, maybe I should rent for a while. I'll just keep looking and I'll find the actual house I want and just rent it. And what you're doing if that happens is, I mean, there's a Harvard Business Review that says the reasons why owning a house makes sense financially. We've talked about a couple of them, but let me go through them for you. And it says the first is it's your number one leveraged investment. It is few households are interested in borrowing money to buy stocks or bonds, but they want to borrow money to buy a house. Even a hefty 20% down payment, which you don't need to do in today's market, results in a leverage factor of 5. In other words, you're only putting 5%, 20% down, in our comment, a lot less, but the whole thing's appreciating. Secondly, you're paying for the housing whether you rent it or own it. So if you were to go back and say, I'm going to wait 2 years and rent, well, what you've actually said is I'm going to pay somebody else's mortgage for those 2 years. I'm going to let the price of the house increase probably by 8 or 9%. And interest rates, which we haven't even talked about. Interest rates are right now at their all-time low at about 3.5%, depending on your credit, are probably going to go up as well. So delaying a decision by renting for a year or two usually means you're going to pay the mortgage for the person who owns it, because you're going to pay it either way. It's the same amount of money as I discussed earlier. But you're, in effect, going to wait for interest rates to rise, which they will. They're probably going to be held until after the election, but the election, as you know, is not that far away at this point in time. And secondly, you're going to see the house price go up. So let's say interest rates went from 3.5 to 4.5. That's the forecast. For by the end of next year, they're going to be somewhere around 4.5%. That 1% from 3.5 to 4.5, the one whole percent that the interest would go up, would cost you 9% of your buying power. So if you could afford a $200,000 house today and it went up to 4.5% by next year and 9%, you can only afford a $182,000 house the end of next year. And let's say at the same time the price house went up and that's going to happen. So it means even less. So right now I can buy four to 200. Next year it's going to be 2 to 10, roughly. Interest rates are going to take 9% out of it. You got a double whammy there. The other thing is, even though you're paying for it, whether you own it or not, when you are paying for it, it's a forced savings. You're paying the same amount roughly each month on a first-time buyer property that you would on renting it. And at the same time, you're building equity, which you can borrow against should you ever need it, and you're building for your future. The substantial tax benefits we've gone over already, and it's a hedge against inflation, because if you, just by the fact that went from 200 to 208 in 1 year, that's the inflation factor on the house, you're beat. You're in at 200, and let's say it goes to 208 the first year and 220 the second, because it compounds a little bit, you're still paying on 200. You've got that hedge against inflation. We realize that home ownership makes sense for many Americans for an assortment of social and family reasons. It also makes sense financially. If you're considering the purchase this year, I suggest what we do is get together and take a look at what some of your options are. Let me go through another article here, and it says, when is a good time to rent? Definitely not now. So let's see what that has to say. And once again, you can find these on jpeters.com. Everything that I'm going through here. If you looked at rent back in 1988 of $350, that same rent today is roughly $850. In other words, the rents have gone up that much. And that's only 25, 30 years back. Where they headed? Low rental vacancies and lack of new rental construction are pushing rents up. That's an important fact. We haven't built a lot of new houses, and we haven't built anything that I can tell you in the lower price points in Hunterdon County. There's maybe one here, one there, but there's no new developments. You tell me where you saw the last new development go up in Hunterdon County. I can't tell you, and I do this for a living. Secondly, you tell me where the last new rental development went up, where they're putting up 200 or 300 rental units. They're not. And as a result, you have limited availability, and as a result of the limited availability, you have limits to choose from. So, my name is Joe Peters. I work with Weikert in Clinton, New Jersey. I'm going to play my commercial one more time. If you're thinking of buying or renting, talk to me. I don't bite. I'm very helpful. I'm not pushy. And I can help you make the right decisions. Once again, here's a little about my background, and we'll go to the news after that.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Once again, this has been Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. We'll be back next week with a 55-plus program, and I'm going to switch over to news. Greg will be with you in about 5 minutes to get into his music program. Thanks for listening. I hope to hear from you in the near future. Joe Peters, 908-238-0118 or jpeters.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We will defeat radical Islamic terrorism, but we will not defeat it with closed eyes or silent voices.
Donald Trump attacking Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail, saying she and President Obama have had a closed eyes. We don't see anything policy when it comes to Islamic terrorism in the country. Trump says if you can't say Islamic terrorism, you can't really fight it. The military announcing an investigation into a supposed coalition airstrike against Syrian forces, as reported by Russia. This is Colonel John Thomas.
It looks like airstrikes. We know it wasn't us, and we'll look to the Syrians and the Russians to tell us what they know.
The father of the Islamic terrorist that bombed New York says he reported his son to the FBI twice. The FBI coming back and saying he did report him, but he later recanted his accusations. USA Radio News.
Have you ever come home from work to find out that the power's out? You reach the power company and they inform you that it'll be out for another 8 hours. Panic sets in. You've been told to prepare for this before. Bottled water, radio, flashlight, easy to prepare meals. And for the next 8 hours, everyone is on edge.